today on Doomed. Matt Gaetz, the alleged sex trafficker, and the former professional wrestler. For a second, I bet you thought I was describing everything that Matt Gaetz could possibly be. But then that pro wrestler thing sure threw you off, didn't it? Because Matt Gaetz certainly is not a former pro wrestler. Yes, that's right. Those are three separate people. And today, on this episode of Doomed with Matt Binder, we will be talking about the bizarre Matt Gaetz case and how this former WWE wrestler turned small-town Florida mayor has got himself all wrapped up into it now. And before we go any further on this episode, I will, of course, tell you all to support this show via patreon.com/Matt Binder. Your support is always welcome. You can also support this show by subscribing to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Matt Binder. Listening to the podcast version of the show, or subscribing to the podcast version of the show, I should say, at doomedpod.com. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. And without further ado, let me pull up my guest for this evening on the screen, and myself as well. There we are, two handsome men right here. How you doing? How you doing, David? David Bixenspan, first of all. I can't believe I'm just acting. I'm completely thrown off. There's so much going on in the world today. I was watching.
Well, also, I was on like 3 weeks ago.
That's true. That's true. David Bixenspan. I hate to call you just pro wrestling journalist, even though I'm sure that's what you are. But your way of covering pro wrestling really wraps up so much more than just, you know, like, you're not a dirt sheet writer. You report the news.
Thank you.
Like you said, you were just on a few weeks ago. Usually I don't like to have guests on so close together. A few weeks ago, not really. I think it was like 5 weeks ago. But still, I usually try to have a sizable gap between when I have guests on. But man, I just got to say, you're the perfect person to have on because, let's put it this way. If anyone for a second thought that, oh man, Donald Trump's not the president anymore, that's the last we'll hear about pro wrestling and politics. Ho, ho, ho! Are you wrong? I feel like it's ramped up from the Lauren Boebert, insane Lauren Boebert rumors that you came on to talk about 5 weeks ago, which I'm not going to get into that. Everyone should go to doomedpod.com or youtube.com/Matt Binder and catch that episode because it's a doozy. To this story here today, literally breaking just this week about how a former WWE wrestler became involved, wrapped up with the guy connected to Matt Gaetz that is basically going to take Matt Gaetz down, if I should say allegedly there's anything there. Seems like there is, but you know, it's a crazy story on its own. And then when you bring in the weird, wonderful world of pro wrestling, I mean, you just get even more wackier. And then there's the QAnon connection, which you're going to tell us about. It's all over the place. David Bixenspan, my point being, welcome to the show today.
Yes, I am happy to talk about how the only pro wrestler ever to have his DNA shot into space now appears to be wrapped up in Gaetzgate.
Really? Is that true? He had his DNA shot up in space?
Yes.
How did that... I guess we should start there. Well, maybe we should talk about who this wrestler is first. I really wanted to talk about the Matt Morgan... I just blew it. I really wanted to talk about the Matt... Too many Matts involved. Too many Matts. I'm Matt Binder.
It's even better. When I was cross-checking everything for the little blog post I did today... I'm looking, and I see, oh, wait a second, there's this guy named John Morgan, who's a lawyer in Florida that seems to be kind of cozy with Joel Greenberg, and I'm thinking, well, wait, he seems to live in the same part of Florida, could he be related? Doesn't look like it, but his son, who's also a partner at his firm, is named Matt Morgan.
Jeez, there's too many Matts, too many Matts. We got Matt Gaetz, we got Matt Binder, who you're talking to right now, we got the Matt Morgan that you're talking about, and then we've got Matt Morgan, the pro wrestler, who we'll get much more into in terms of the Matt Gaetz story in a second. But first, I had no idea about this, completely unprepared to talk about this before the podcast because it wasn't even on my list here. What's the deal with Matt Morgan's DNA being in space? Is that some weird Elon Musk thing?
Well, I pulled up the press release from 2008. We forgot to mention to you that he's also a former American Gladiator cast member. He was on The Revival as Beast. So anyway, here we go. Business Wire, Austin, Texas, August 13th, 2008. NC Soft's Operation Immortality and world-renowned pro wrestler team up to send genetic fingerprint to International Space Station. Matt Morgan, known as Beast on television's American Gladiators and a professional wrestling star for, at the time, Total Nonstop Action or TNA Wrestling, has signed up on, I almost said signed up, to have his DNA sequenced and digitized and sent to the International Space Station with gaming legend Richard Garriott in October.
Is that the Pac-Man guy? Is that the Pac-Man guy? Because
I don't know.
Richard Garriott? I mean, obviously, this is completely inconsequential to the, topic.
Garriott. I don't know.
Richard Garriott.
Will take so Marriott, but with a G and two R's. He'll take DNA samples from select individuals on the quote unquote immortality drive, a storage device that he'll leave on the International Space Station as part of NCSoft's Operation Immortality. And his latest game, Tabula Rasa.
All right, he made a bunch of games that I have no idea, that I'm honestly completely unfamiliar with.
Okay, but Morgan, who stands 7 feet tall and weighs 320 pounds, has been described as, quote, the most genetically jacked, athletically stacked giant in the world. I think that was his catchphrase or something. Early in his career, and still today, Matt Morgan was given the name of the blueprint. He earned this name because some believe Morgan is not just considered the blueprint for how big men will be portrayed in wrestling in the future, but also because he's a blueprint for the paradigm of human genetics and physical potential. I can't read the rest of this. I'm sorry.
Okay, apparently, Garriott made Ultima Online, the whole Ultima series.
Okay, so that's why he's a gaming legend.
Yes, I mean, that game I feel like hasn't been... I mean, I never played it. I just know the name. I feel like it hasn't been relevant in very long, but maybe I'm about to get owned by all the gamers who listen to this show. He also made City of Heroes and City of Villains, which both sound familiar to me. I don't know why.
They were the online multiplayer RPGs where you created your own superhero or supervillain.
Right. Well, okay. Wonderful. Let's get to the...
Yeah.
The Ultima Warrior, right? Let's get to today's topic. Now that I know that Matt Morgan, this is going to really affect, like, this is going to be a hell of a show with me constantly having to stop myself before I say Matt Gaetz when I mean Matt Morgan, and Matt Morgan when I mean
just
Matt Gaetz.
Just say Morgan and Gaetz.
Right.
Don't bother with the first names.
Right, yeah, that first name... What kind of idiot has the first name Matt anyway?
I mean, you're talking. I'm currently living in an apartment where I have three roommates and two of them are named David.
For a second, I thought you were going to say you had three roommates and all three of them are named Matt.
No, that would be terrible.
Right. That would be right. All right. So, David. Which David are you, by the way, in your abode with all your roommates? Are you David number one or David number two?
We haven't numbered.
Okay, so let me crack open a soda here, and because we're gonna really get into it here today. So,
you gotta get a gate for that new mic because it shouldn't have picked that up.
Oh really? Yeah, if it didn't pop, I'm fine with it.
No, it did. I'm saying it did. I was surprised with the new mic.
I got this new foam thing too, and every windscreen. Oh boy. All right. Anyway, so Matt Gaetz. For people who aren't familiar with what's been going on with Matt Gaetz, I don't know, if you've been living under a rock or you just have the words Florida or Florida man or Florida Republican.
Or Seminole County,
blocked on your computer.
Seminole County blocked on your computer, like that's probably making your life better.
Yeah, right. I completely get it. But anyway, what's the deal? And I've covered it on this show, but for people who are just tuning in and have no clue, what's been going on with Matt Gaetz, David?
Well, on March 30th, so now a little over 2 weeks ago, the New York Times reported that he was caught up in the investigation of former Seminole County, Florida tax collector Joel Greenberg, who has been hit with, like, what is it now, over 30 federal charges, I believe?
It's a lot.
Ranging from stalking to child sex trafficking to, I haven't looked at the full list of charges, but I'm sure there's some corruption stuff in there. I would think so, based on some of the stuff we're about to talk about.
I've been seeing reports about him throwing money all over the place, literally funding. I don't remember all the details, but he was funding a Bitcoin operation with taxpayer money. Like, he bought all the equipment to, like, mine Bitcoin or something like that.
That sounds right. Yes. Which, interesting to also, to, like, be into crypto and then be dumb enough to not use crypto for anything you did.
Well, we'll get there in a second. I think we're jumping ahead. Tease.
So, anyway. So, the initial report, I believe, was something about how Gaetz may have had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old. That in and of itself is legal in many states. 17 is the age of consent in many states, including here in New York. But she's still technically a minor, and apparently the investigation was looking into whether or not he paid for her travel, etc.
Right. I think we should really drive home there that in Florida, the state where Matt Gaetz and Greenberg and Matt Morgan, who we'll get to in a minute, and where this all took place.
It is 18.
It is not 17.
Well, what am I talking about? We just talked about this on the last show.
Right. So in Florida, Matt Gaetz would not be able to have relations with a 17-year-old without it being illegal because she would be a minor.
Right. This is a federal investigation, though, we should know.
Because, you'll get to it.
As I said, the alleged paying for travel and across state lines aspects.
Yes, this guy Greenberg was apparently flying in ladies over the age of 18 and girls under the age of 18, if I recall reading. So really, just anyway, you know, this guy was just trafficking minors and women, from what I recall reading, from all over the country. I mean, this is allegedly.
Yes. And Gaetz, was it that night or the next night? I think it was that night, right? He went on Tucker Carlson, put on an absolutely bizarre performance that quickly turned off even Tucker. Because he was like, well, a couple years ago, you and I, and I think he said maybe your wife or whatever, got dinner, and I was with, you'll remember, the woman that's apparently at issue here. And Tucker's awful. I genuinely believe him when he was just like, I really don't know what you're talking about. He seemed absolutely shell-shocked that this was going in that direction. So anyway, since then, Gaetz, you know, he's been blaming the deep state.
It was the first time I've ever seen Tucker Carlson make that Tucker Carlson face.
But genuinely, yes.
And it actually fit the moment, right?
Yes. So he called it, I believe, I don't remember the exact wording. He called it some variation on the strangest interview he's ever done. And since then, you know, Gaetz will blame the deep state. Gaetz will point to Project Veritas putting out, like, I didn't watch both of the CNN videos they did this week, but one was just some technical director who was clearly making an obvious hypothetical when he was asked to define propaganda, and they tried to spin it as CNN is trying to destroy Matt Gaetz. He just used the Gaetz story in the obvious hypothetical. There's all sorts of right-wing defenders working with him, but there are definitely some who are staying silent. there were stories about Trump trying to distance himself. Trump put out a press release saying he is not doing so, blah, 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 fake news, anonymous sources. And really what's been going on overall, though, is there has been a very steady drip, drip, drip since the Time story of Matt Gaetz and Joel Greenberg related stories, many of which have involved public record requests and public records otherwise available online in Florida, and those being put together to kind of figure out some of what's going on, as well as people who had saved copies of Matt Gaetz's Venmo activity, and I think also maybe also Greenberg's, that passed them on because they left all their transactions on public, and it included transactions that appear to be payments to women for sex.
Right. And, you know, the idea that you would use Venmo for this is just amazing. Like, the most public transactional, like, platform. Like, you could have wired the money, used your credit card. Like,
you
obviously,
they were crypto. You embezzled government money to,
like, you could like set up a Stripe account, a PayPal account. Like, this would all have left a trail.
It would have left a trail regardless. But
Venmo is the only one that leaves it out for the public to view if they just go to your Venmo profile.
Yes.
Like it's just amazing. And you know, it's like they didn't understand. And I recall reading about it a while ago where people just were not aware that this was an actual thing, like a couple of years back, where people were actually not aware of that sort of aspect to Venmo, where all their transactions were being published onto their profile by default, unless they ticked something in their settings that basically set their transactions to private. So this isn't
which I did the minute I got Venmo.
Right. So I want people to understand, because people might be reading this, listening to this, or reading the Matt Gaetz stories that are out there and thinking, I mean, there's no way someone's that dumb to do this. Like, maybe those things that he claims those payments were for, he's actually telling the truth. Well, no. Like, the idea is that this was something that completely tripped up a lot of people who were using Venmo. So it is completely in the realm of possibility and more than plausible that Matt Gaetz would use Venmo without realizing that Venmo was publishing all of his transactions and all of the details in, like, that he left in the description for the transactions to his Venmo profile. I mean, and the things that he was describing when he made these payments, hundreds and hundreds of dollars of in different transactions, like $400 here, $600 there.
Well, no. The first Daily Beast story, I know there was subsequent Venmo reporting I haven't read yet, I think also at the Daily Beast. The first story was, I forget if Gaetz sent Greenberg a single $900 payment or three $300 payments, but immediately afterwards, Greenberg sent three $300 payments, well, one each, to three different girls labeled, I think, as school or tuition or books or whatever.
Maybe it was for Nestor, right? Anyway, you know, but then later on, there were Venmo stories that came out that basically gave some of the, like, the descriptions, and the dude was using, like different codes for the transactions, like, you know, payment for salad, for example.
Yeah, you know, that's the story from yesterday that I haven't read yet.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because the QAnon conspiracy theorists, a lot of overlap there with the Pizzagaters. I mean, the Pizzagate people basically became QAnon believers. And their whole shtick was that all these pizza references in the leaked Podesta emails were implicating various Democrats as, having trafficked minors or having had sexual relations with minors, and that the descriptions of different types of pizza is really code for what they wanted in terms of the sex trafficking. You know, for example, when they said pizza, that was talking about children. If it was pepperoni pizza, that was a certain age or a certain
whatever,
gender, you know, or, you know, mushroom has meant something else, and, you know, but here we have a very obvious thing where that's happening. And there's actual legitimate allegations connected to it. And they're defending him. They're defending. They're saying it's not true. It's not true. No way. Not true.
He's just getting salad.
Come on. $400 salad. Come on. Getting a couple pizza pies for a political campaign. Totally child trafficking. No doubt about it. $600 salad? Eh, it happens. Have you seen the prices at Chopped lately, David? They're getting expensive. Getting expensive.
So having not read this story until just now, I'm kind of surprised that this part did not get more play. Gates made only one previously unreported transaction in the newly obtained documents, a payment from the Florida congressman to the former Seminole County tax commissioner for $300 on November 1st, 2018, with the Love Hotel emoji in the memo field.
Mm.
The Daily Beast was unable to tie that transaction directly to any woman, but confirmed that Greenberg booked one night for that date at the Alfond Inn, a luxury hotel in Winter Park, Florida, which is
it's
Orlando suburb.
It's obvious. It's obvious, David, that when you use that love hotel, is that what you said?
A love hotel. It's a thing in Japan, which it's a no-tell
there's
a,
motel. Wait, there's an emoji for that? There's an emoji for
I had no idea that there was, but it is on display here.
Can you send that to me so I could pull
it
up on the screen?
Me...
A love hotel emoji. Well, anyway, David, as you said, while you send that to me,
I'm sending it in the chat. Yep, there it goes.
As we all know, a love hotel. Oh, okay.
it's a Japanese no-tell motel that is more specialized and explicitly for sex.
Right. So you know. Here's the thing, David. We all know that when a Republican congressman is paying, is involved in a transaction for an exorbitant amount of money, $400 to $600, and they use the love hotel emoji, then that is actually the secret code for ordering actual pizza. That's just how it works. That's just how it works.
Okay, so by the way, since it came up. I do feel like finding the emails weird from Podesta and possibly code for something. I don't think that's ridiculous. They do read strangely.
I mean, he's ordering
sex trafficking is obviously ridiculous.
He's ordering pizzas, man. I mean, he's ordering pizzas.
Yeah, okay, sure. That's why there are that weird email about, you left a handkerchief that appeared to have a map on it that was pizza related.
Wait, what? Like,
yeah, that's one of the emails.
I don't remember that one. But
yeah, like, there is stuff in there that doesn't really make sense. Do I think it's about child sex trafficking? No.
I'm not going to go there with you, David. Let's get back to this.
Okay.
All I know is that pizzas are extremely easy. The actual food, I don't want it to be taken out of context here. The actual food item where you have that piece of bread where that you cook in
the
an
bread,
oven
the sauce, the cheese.
With the cheese and the sauce. Extremely easy food to eat while on the move. So, you know, if you are working for a political campaign and you're doing stuff and you need a quick dinner while working, pizza is an incredibly convenient meal.
You get the slice, you do the thing with the plate,
yes,
you fold it,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Et cetera. All right, so anyway, I guess now we should move on to Matt Morgan.
Let's move on now to Matt Morgan. Where does this come into play? I don't think I should be shocked about this anymore. I think it should now become the norm. You should consider this whenever you hear some political scandal or insane political story that at some point a professional wrestler is going to get involved somewhere along the line.
Especially if the phrase Seminole County comes up at all.
Maybe you should start there, actually, before we get into Matt Morgan. What is the deal with Seminole County? I'm actually not that familiar. Is Seminole County known for a particular brand of scandal? Do they have a lot going on there?
Well, no, not exactly. It's just that it seems like everything in my life just keeps revolving around Seminole County. Longwood, where Matt Morgan was at one point the commission-appointed mayor and is still part of the city commission, that's part of Seminole County. WWE Q-pilled referee Drake Wirt, who has now just become that guy at town meetings and stuff like that, I believe is in Seminole County. There are going to be plenty of wrestlers in Seminole County just because wrestlers flock to Florida anyway because of the no state income tax, but also specifically because WWE's Performance Center is there, so anyone new that signs with WWE moves there. Seminole County directly borders Orange County, which is where Orlando is, and a bunch of the Orlando suburbs are in Seminole County. Right. So that ties into that. So you got the Drake Arts thing, you got Matt Morgan, and Lauren Boebert, of course, is originally from Seminole County, Altamont Springs.
This is amazing. This is
fantastic. Oh, I mean, I tweeted it Tuesday, and I wasn't kidding. I'm kicking myself for not thinking about this as soon as I saw that Joel Greenberg's thing was Seminole County tax collector.
Right. Because that's where he was, right? That's where he was taking all that taxpayer funds and spending it on Bitcoin mining supplies.
Yes.
Amazing. So, let's get into Matt Morgan now. So Matt Morgan's this former WWE wrestler. He's like 7 feet tall. He's got like...
He's a legit 6'10", at least, yeah.
Yeah, he's a tall guy. You know, if people don't know, in wrestling, they add a few inches to your build height. Because Vince McMahon has a history of liking larger athletes. Larger-than-life
superstars.
Well,
they do that everywhere in wrestling, though.
Right, that's true.
But if someone was in WWE and they were billed as a 7-footer in WWE... Because everyone in WWE, for the most part, or at least for a long time, was so much bigger than wrestlers everywhere else because they were trying to only hire bigger guys. If WWE was calling someone 7-footer, you can trust that they're at least 6'8 legit.
Right.
6'8, maybe 6'9.
Right. So Matt Gaetz has the complete look that Vince would like, but he went nowhere in the WWE. Is there any reason for that, you think?
It's strange. So
you got this tall guy. He wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like a meathead. He had like a good, like he had a good wrestling physique. You know, a lot of times you get these big guys and they're just like either just like big and bulky and they just don't look like they can move around the ring. Whereas Matt Morgan was he looked like an athletic guy.
Yeah, he was a good college basketball player, if I remember right. You know, looked good, but didn't look like overly muscle bound, like that it would affect him athletically. Good public speaker, at least when he was in their developmental system originally.
And then didn't they give him a stuttering gimmick, if I recall correctly?
Well, that's where I was going. He had developed into a really good wrestling talker, and then when he got called up to the main roster, he was quickly given a stuttering gimmick. And then he was gone, and...
I thought people understand I'm not laughing at stuttering, or... I'm laughing at the fact that Vince McMahon would see a large guy... who, according to David, could cut a good promo, which means he's a good talker, which is a hugely important skill have in pro wrestling. And Vince's first thought is to look at him and go, "We're gonna make him stutter."
That was probably one of the very first examples. There have been more lately, but it's become increasingly clear that even being Vince McMahon's dream wrestler will not save you these days. He's just too far gone. It's like, look at Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman is 400 pounds of muscle and developed into a very good performer pretty quickly, gets good fan engagement, etc. And they just never really would pull the trigger on him. Or Mandy Rose, who is Vince McMahon's dream woman, you know. Former fitness model, implants, blonde, but really athletic and turned into a really good wrestler. And she's been mismanaged. And Matt Riddle, before the whole rape accusation thing.
I feel like that's a story in and of itself, so we shouldn't get too into that.
Well, yes.
But let's get back to...
But they've been pushing him anyway, and you would think he's Vince McMahon's dream guy because he's a jacked former MMA fighter who looks like Kerry Von Erich. And still, they don't do anything right.
Right. So let's get back to Morgan's affair. He fails in the WWE. They release him after some time. Was there any reason for his release, or just caught up in the usual?
the usual, yeah. So he goes to TNA.
WWE spring cleaning.
Yeah, he's there for several years, does American Gladiators 2, and kind of fades away. He never really clicked in TNA. It's possible that him being a, like, actively good promo was more the coaching he was getting in developmental, because it was still the Jim Cornette developmental, and if nothing else, Jim Cornette is really good at that type of thing. And, you know, just settled into local politics, and that's where things are. So, yes.
How did he become the mayor of, what's the town?
Longwood.
Longwood, Florida. That's a small town. What's that?
I was doing the Vince goddamn pal at the name Longwood.
Oh, right. I mean, really fits this whole ridiculous story perfectly, doesn't it? How does he become the mayor of Longwood? Does he get elected to that position? How does this work?
No. So he was elected to the city commission. Then he was appointed by the city commission to the mayor position. It's not an elected mayor, which I think a lot of people don't realize. There are a lot of cities that have city managers and mayors that are not elected.
Now, I'm guessing this wasn't a full-time mayoral job, though.
I'm not entirely sure. Like, it was, like, is it kind of like the, just the head of the commission? That I haven't dug deep into.
Because isn't that the deal with Kane in Hard Knocks, Tennessee, where
Knox, so, he is the mayor of Knox County. It is, I believe it is a full-time position.
I called it Hard Knocks, didn't I? Knoxville County, right, right.
No, Knox. But Knoxville, the biggest city in Knox County, has
Knox
its own
County,
name.
Right.
As is the case with many of these places, the actual city leans heavily Democratic. Knoxville has a Democratic mayor.
Right.
Knox County, including the more rural areas,
has the big red machine.
Yes, exactly. Literally.
Right.
In every way.
Right, right. Yes, he's red as can be in many ways. Right. God, it's a good thing he has very limited, he has very limited actual, powers, doesn't he? In terms of how,
yeah.
I think like the pandemic is the best thing that happened to him because he could actually, make some like health code declarations in terms of like the mask rules, which he's been horrible on, if I recall.
But he was only one vote on that, I believe.
There you go.
So, I mean, I believe it's more of a traditional mayor job than Morgan's, but still, you get what I'm saying. Anyway,
right.
So, I guess the last thing before we get to Tuesday is that, as we discussed months ago, Morgan got wrapped up in the anti-child trafficking movement.
There we go. I should let people know that you came on completely separate from the Lauren Boebert episode. From like a month and a half ago, you came on last year. I think it was like late summer.
It would have been end of September, beginning of October.
There you go. Late summer, as I call it. And you had a story where about how, I mean, really it was a wrestling story, but you actually, honestly, and I've seen a lot come out about this organization since. Yeah. I think you were the first person to really dive deep into that organization. What's it called again?
Operation Underground Railroad, yes.
Operation Underground Railroad. You were the first person to really dig into that group. And for people who are unfamiliar, Operation Underground Railroad is alleged, because they call themselves that, anti-trafficking group. Organization that's literally just seems to be a front for this guy to be able to raise funds and really push quasi QAnon type conspiracy theories.
Yes. So yeah, it was back in September, stemming from a fundraiser for the charity that Q-Pilled referee Drake Wirtz was organizing in Longwood at the public park there. Morgan got involved and has done some other anti-child trafficking stuff since, but not necessarily with Operation Underground Railroad. I was a little unclear on what it was, so I haven't pursued it too much. But he's been involved in all that, and there wasn't much new for a while. Then there was Tuesday. Orlando Sentinel puts out an article, not just about Matt Morgan, but covering how they had gotten records, including, I believe, an audit report about the tax collector's office, which I got one of the documents that they used that I didn't have from one of the Sentinel reporters. I actually forgot to ask for the audit report, unless that's online and I didn't realize it. But combining that with then getting records of disbursements and blah, 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 they found out that Greenberg, in his capacity as tax collector, gave Matt Morgan and his brand new LLC that he had just started a little over $40,000 in payments that were seemingly for a no-show job. And like, tax collector's office told the Sentinel that they couldn't find a contract or really any proof of any work. The auditor's report.
So Greenberg basically just handed over a bag of 40 with 40, like a suitcase, a briefcase, money in the bank briefcase with $40,000 in it to Matt Morgan. What was the title of this job again?
I don't think it said anything. I think there was an internal like directory, I think, that said that he was being paid to help promote like their social media or something weird. But yeah, the first payment was $4,500 on, I believe, October 30th, 2019. And then from then on, he invoiced them for $2,250 every 2 weeks through the first week of July of last year.
Hmm.
Yes. And of course, the company, by the way, is Blueprint Enterprises, LLC.
Hmm. It's very convenient. So what did Matt Morgan do with that $40,000? Do we know?
So I'm looking into this more, and we'll probably talk about that later and off the air. But what the Sun Sentinel found, they put together with some public records that, you know, were already accessible online that they wouldn't have even had to do requests for. And they noticed that he set up the LLC on October 7th, 2019. He was discharged from a tax lien for close to $40,000 2 days later. And then it was at the end of that month that he started receiving the payments from the tax collector's office.
Hmm.
And no, he did not respond to their request for comment. More on that in a minute, though.
Oh. So has the minute passed? Can we get into what? Can we get into that?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, you seem surprised, even though I know you read it because you took the photo from it. But
Right. No, I did read it, but it is, you know, as I'm putting it together in my head while you're telling me this, you know, more and giving myself a more clear, you know, picture of what went on here. It's surprising me all over again.
Yeah. So I'm doing some digging around and I see something in some tweets replying to someone. I go check it out that there had been a deleted tweet of some sort.
Here we go.
So I did a post about this on my Substack blog, which I'm sure we'll plug later, and you'll link in the show notes.
Of course. But I already have the
And the YouTube thing. Great.
All right. I'm pulling up that tweet right here over me. Why don't you describe it to everybody?
Okay. So this is last day of February 2019. Morgan went to a fundraiser for another local politician where he says he met Matt Gaetz in person for the first time. And if I don't have it right in front of me this second, obviously I can pull it up quickly. He did stress that it was the first time they met in person. He did imply they already knew each other. Let me see real quick as I scroll down to the screenshot I did. Because thankfully there was still a Google cache. So it says, Larissa, who's Morgan's wife, and I had a great time tonight supporting our bud at Jason Brodeur for hashtag Republican Florida State Senate. It was great to finally meet at Matt Gaetz in person. Thank you again so very much for the encouragement and for paying attention to what some of us small town city leaders do with photos of him with Brodeur, Larissa Morgan, and Matt Gaetz. How do I know that this was deleted, and how am I about to explain to you when it was deleted? That's because Gaetz retweeted it. ProPublica has a publicly available database on their website called PolitWoops, that tracks deleted tweets from all sorts of politicians. Morgan deleting the tweet because Gates retweeted it triggers it being a deleted tweet as far as Politoops is concerned.
That's great. We should, you know, there should be a political account that just retweets every like tweet
oh,
just
I'm
to archive
sure there
it.
There must be a bot already for it. I'd be shocked if there's not. So I'm looking at this and it's like, okay, it's deleted April 7th, a little after 2 a.m. So that would be.
And this tweet is from February of 2019.
Yes. And so he tweeted it late Tuesday night last week, early Wednesday morning. And so, yeah, he's doing it in the middle of the night and a week after, I mean, over a week after the Gates story first broke. You would think that maybe the catalyst for this was the Orlando Sentinel reaching out to him initially. It was not. I checked with them. They did not reach out to him until Friday.
Hmm.
So this
so
is
he
just
knew me. He knew something was up. Or there's something that he knows that we don't know yet. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I would think if he was just again, I don't want to project onto this. We should stress he has not been directly connected to any sex trafficking or anything.
Oh no, who knows?
No, I'm not saying that either, but right. But I mean, it feels that way because you would think if he was just going to do this over the Gate story breaking, he would have done that in the previous 8 days.
Right.
So, right. You know, who knows what's up with that? But there's another wrinkle to that. And I mean, if you look
the implication here from Matt Morgan, I mean, to me, the issue isn't so much that he's connected to Matt Gaetz in some way. For people who are paying attention, because obviously a sitting U.S. congressman is implicated in a alleged sex trafficking scandal. Obviously, that's the big deal here with Matt Gaetz. He's the central core of why this matters. However, if you're Matt Morgan,
well,
nationally speaking, yes. But if you are Matt Morgan, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're connected to Matt Gaetz. That's whatever about that. To me, the interesting thing, and that we already have a connection to, is how does he know Joel Greenberg, the alleged sex trafficker at the center of all of this, enough where he's getting a 40K non-existent
no-show
position? Now, that's the question to me. I mean, if I was Matt Morgan, I wouldn't care about that photo with Matt Gaetz. I'd be caring about my connection, that 40K that Greenberg gave me.
Yeah, exactly. So there's clearly more to this. Morgan has just been staying quiet. He hasn't posted on social media or anything. He's usually pretty active on his official, like, I guess technically it was his campaign Facebook, but, you know, he still uses it. And he has not said anything anywhere since Tuesday. He is, and I have no idea what he's getting paid for it, and I say this as someone who used to get paid to appear on this podcast. He did not appear on Wrestling Inc.'s NXT post-show podcast on Tuesday night with no public explanation, although read the tea leaves. And that's kind of where things sit with him right now, I guess.
You know, I will have to wait and see what happens. Obviously, we can't speculate here, but it's how much did he push those QAnon adjacent conspiracies that were being spread by what was that group again?
Operation Underground
Railroad that he got caught up in with because that I'm assuming he's friends with NXT's QAnon referee.
Yes.
So how much did he push that stuff?
It's an interesting question. I have not seen this. At some point, he either was asked on one of the Wrestling Inc. podcasts or asked to be able to speak about it and stress that he is not a QAnon believer, follower, whatever. as someone who's religious, is it possibly just went into it well-meaning? Sure.
But,
you know, I mean, this is it happens.
All right.
I mean, again, the reason soft QAnon works is that who's gonna say no to want to help me with an anti-child sex trafficking charity fundraiser?
Right. And, you know, as long as they're not going to give you $40K for doing nothing, then you can go after them. Otherwise, who cares? I mean, to me, that's another revealing thing here, that yet again, we have an individual who is extremely loud about, stopping child sex trafficking, which everyone who isn't a child sex trafficker can admit is abhorrent and needs to be stopped. But here's a guy who believes that. It's all over the place and being carried out by I'm sure Operation Underground Railroad is big fans of the idea that, the people they don't like are child sex traffickers, because this is a QAnon adjacent conspiracy that they're throwing out there with the Save Our Children campaign.
Well, and don't forget, too, with Operation Underground Railroad, it's not just capitalizing on the co-opting of Save the Children.
Oh, what
did
do you mean?
Just freeze? Oh, sorry, I thought you froze for a second. As we talked about previously, like, when the Wayfair thing happened, Ballard was like, children are sold this way.
Right, yeah, they share all that bullshit.
Tim Ballard, I should say, the founder of Operation Underground Railroad.
Right. So here you have this guy, Matt, we're talking about Matt Morgan here, who's sharing all of this stuff from this organization, supporting them. And on the side, he's when was this payment from again?
It was from the end of October 2019 through the first week of July 2020.
So he really is in the he's getting paid by Greenberg, an alleged sex trafficker, during like the we're talking like QAnon's already taken off by that point. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If we're talking like 2018, 2019, I could forgive someone for not being so. I mean, I was obviously knew all about it then, but I could understand someone not on the aware of QAnon.
Yes, but and for what it's worth,
if you're not aware, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, for what it's worth, also, he starts getting involved in this stuff third week of August, based on the emails I had gotten.
Right.
As far as Operation Underground Railroad. So, you know, like month and a half after his last payment from Greenberg.
Right. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we'll have to pay attention to this, see what goes down. I think this story is going to, I don't know how it could get any weirder, but it certainly can. And I think, you know, there's a lot here that's going to be uncovered. It's all obviously no one's been charged. Well, Greenberg has. Greenberg
yes.
was arrested and charged, and apparently, according to his lawyer, he's gonna sing like a little bird.
I should have mentioned that sooner, actually. Yes, like. By all indications, both from the New York Times reporting, I believe maybe some other reporting, and also Greenberg's lawyer, everyone that was tied up in this is fucked.
Yeah. Greenberg's going to do whatever he can to get as little punishment as possible for his role at the center of all this. Because he's, you know, at the end of the day, he's small bore, you know? No one, you know, the big get for the, you know, for the feds is a sitting congressman.
Yes, who we should also note, too, two things. One, there was some anti-trafficking bill, was it last year or the year before, where he was, Gates, for some reason, the only no vote. And also, I retweeted earlier. Let me find it real quick. I forget who it was. Someone earlier today, I believe it was, dug up a Mother Jones article about Gates from about 2 years ago. Did you see this?
I did not, no.
Okay. All right, here it is. It was Jason Garcia, who was one of the reporters on the Sentinel story, who tweeted it. And he tweeted, this passage from a fall 2019 Mother Jones story about Matt Gates sure reads differently today. There is one thing Gates would prefer to keep out of the media, his love life. 2 years ago, a former staffer sent him a blunt text message about a 21-year-old woman Gates was dating, who would later become a Democratic congressional intern, urging him to ask the woman to delete photos of him from her Instagram account. The staffer wrote, "Don't be surprised if many of the conservatives and competitors, like Chris Dosev of Florida, I guess Florida Central District 1, says Florida CD 1, may frown upon her sexually explicit images, her videos showcasing her multiple capabilities to smoke weed, and her flagrant application of language as antithetical to the values of Northwest Florida." Gates declined multiple requests from Mother Jones for an interview, but one day, out of the blue, he called to beg me not to identify the women he's dated. "I am pleading with you not to identify them," he said. "Identifying puts them at risk." Gates said he gets death threats from, quote, "the same demographic of people who shot up the Republican baseball game," end quote. He added, quote, "I'm not a monk, I'm just a congressman."
Jeez, that's...
That's very weird. Dark in the light of the last few weeks.
Right, right. And we should, I should add, I found this out about Matt Gaetz recently. I don't think a lot of people know this. Are you aware of who his fiance is?
Paul Marlucky's sister.
Yes, I could not believe it. How weird. And for people who don't know, Palmer Luckey is the founder of the Oculus, the VR headset that Facebook later bought, making Palmer Luckey a billionaire. And you know what Palmer Luckey has done with those billions of dollars he now has?
Be the Trumpiest person possible.
Donating massive amounts of money to Donald Trump. Huge Trump supporter. Obviously, you know, Matt Gaetz is not related to Palmer Luckey's sister as far as I know. But in terms of like them all being in this same little world of right wing, nut jobs, how incestuous. I mean, really, it's so what a weird thing to come across. I was very shocked. Like, you know, weird that he would even put that on the line, though. Like, at the very least, like, you know, even if he doesn't care about this woman who he's supposedly going to be marrying, and is going out doing what he's doing, dude, you're going to get like a huge amount of money. You're going to become part of that whole family if you just don't allegedly have relations with underage women.
But isn't his dad already a billionaire? Gates.
Oh, is he? Right. What is Matt Gaetz's dad? What does Matt Gaetz's dad do again?
Oh God, I don't remember.
I forgot. I honestly forgot all about that.
Matt Gaetz's dad's fortune, I guess, is the thing to Google. Okay, a Forbes story about his surprising family wealth. I should have probably just left the Mother Jones story open because that headline is about using his daddy's money.
Matt Gaetz reported assets of just $235,000 to $625,000. On his most recent disclosure form. I'm assuming there's something more there. Oh, right, because we totally forgot this whole thing, where his dad, when this all broke, his dad claimed that he was being blackmailed for like $25 million, right?
Which does not mean that the investigation isn't real, because the blackmail attempt was about revealing that the investigation existed.
Right. So Matt Gaetz's dad claimed that someone came up to him and said, you know, there's going to be a very unfortunate story coming out about your son. And if you pay me $25 million or something like that, no one has to know about it. Which, honestly, I don't see a way in which this story wasn't going to get out there. So that was just I don't know what is going on there. This story was getting out there whether Matt Gaetz's dad paid the money or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So this is the most Florida way to make a fortune possible.
Is it real estate?
No.
Is it like surfboards and beach parties?
No, it's like
Disney World?
It's kind of in the same vein as the David Roth joke about how there are just a bunch of weird rich dudes who made money by, like, inventing a swimming pool cleaner and making enough money off of it before it was pulled from the market for killing people or whatever. So he co-founded a hospice provider, Vitas or Vitas Healthcare, in 1983 with an ordained minister and a registered nurse. He had been working as a hospital administrator. Built it up over the next two decades. In 2004, sold it, after building it up to 6,000 employees, to Roto-Rooter for $406
million. Roto-Rooter? What is that again? Oh, the plumbing company, right.
The plumbing chain company, yeah.
Right. Weird. Hmm.
Yeah, I would not
that's
have
a lot, expected... That's a lot of money.
No, but I also would not have expected that Roto-Rooter invested in the hospice business.
It makes sense, I guess. You know, people who are sick like that, you know, I guess...
They destroy toilets.
No, they probably need some sort of alternative way of using the restroom or help using the restroom.
No, but it's just a plumbing service.
I'm sure they make some sort of toilet items or something, you know, so, I don't know.
I don't know, but still, it's a very weird little thing. Okay, so maybe he's not quite a billionaire. I don't know.
You know, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars is still a lot of money. But yeah, you just got to stick with his. Her name's Ginger Lucky. She's 26, putting her at 12 years younger than Matt Gaetz, which, some people probably might not be fine with. I think, you know, when you're hit a certain age, the age gap can be much larger and it's fine. I don't think 26. 38. That's how old Matt Gaetz is now, right? 38.
Yeah, he's about to turn 39.
Yeah, I don't think 26 and 39 is that big of a deal because of the ages. But that's probably maybe why Matt Gaetz isn't that into it. It's not that big of an age gap. David, we got to pay attention to the story. I'm sure there'll be much more coming out, and you'll be on top of it and letting us know. What else happens with Matt Morgan, if there's anything else there? I mean, obviously, I think he's got to be questioned in some way as to how this all came about. I mean, we're definitely going to find more, at least about why he was paid $40,000 to do practically nothing. But you also had a piece that recently came out looking into my favorite topic of the past couple of weeks, cancel culture. Can't get enough of it. No one can stop talking about cancel culture because they love talking about Dr. Seuss and Pepe Le Pew and Mr. Potato Head and...
You mean the various examples that even if cancel culture was a real thing would still have nothing to do with cancel culture?
Exactly. But you wrote a piece about cancel culture and Hulk Hogan. And if you don't mind, David, we had a wonderful hour-long conversation about Matt Gaetz, Matt Morgan, and Joel Greenberg. And I think I've given the freebie listeners of the podcast just enough for this episode of the show. And if you would join me in the second half to talk about the...
You motherfucker.
What happened?
I'm kidding. But...
Okay. For a second, I thought you were actually upset with me.
No.
What I'll probably do is release this for freebies at a later date, too. But I want to give...
We'll see. Yeah.
I want to give the patrons something. I want to give... I don't want to overload people with too much on one episode. And obviously, if you're watching the live stream, you can stick around. I will not cut off the live stream listeners. You can keep watching. You'll see no difference. So, David, I'm going to give you a quick couple-minute break while I wrap up the first half of the show. And we'll jump right back in.
All right. Should I do any plugs or should we just tell everyone to go to the show description?
No, we don't need to tell anyone about all the stuff you do. No one can. No, I'm joking. Of course, David. Okay. Where can people find you? Well, first of all, I think the most important thing in terms of this episode is plugging your wonderful newsletter so you can shuttle people to read about your piece about Matt finding that deleted Matt Gaetz tweet.
Yeah,
Matt Morgan tweet, I should say.
I've been neglecting it for a while. I think finally I have a better understanding of what I want to do with it. But yeah, my Substack is babyfacevheel.com. You can also find it linked on my Twitter, at David Bix. Definitely should be some other stuff coming up there in the next week or so. And that has the Matt Morgan thing, plus the Drake Wirt Parler article and the blog post I wrote about that time that WWE got in league with anti-vaxxers and then left their anti-vax press release on their website for years and years. That's there. All sorts of stuff over there. The Matt Riddle stuff we alluded to earlier is also on there, so check that out. If you want to see me doing more reporting like the types I do and not have to worry about being able to sell it to anyone, maybe pay for a subscription, but I'm not going to beg too much. And of course, you can also check out the podcast myself and Chris Zellner do every week, the wrestling podcast we do, Between the Sheets, comes out every Monday, everywhere you want to listen to podcasts. And we also have our Patreon. So the regular podcast covers a given week in wrestling as it was covered at the time and analyzing all that. And then the Patreon shows that we do once a month are deep dives going across a longer period of time with a theme. The last one we did was part one of two that we're going to continue this month on the sale of WCW 20 years ago. And boy, did we find a lot of stuff that changed our minds on what went down there. Because I've started to find more trade magazine and other stuff that was kind of ignored by wrestling people at the time. So check that out as well.
All right, David Bixon.
If you just search for it on Patreon, you'll find it.
David Bixon Span, everyone. Follow him on Twitter at David Bix. And we'll see him again in just a couple of minutes on the second half of the show. Thank you for joining me, David. Talk to you in a second.
Sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do a quick... Oh, I got my bag of potato chips in the shot here. Let me move that out of the way. First of all, we got a lot coming up in the second half of the show. So if you're watching on the live stream, don't go anywhere. You can stick around and stay tuned. You won't miss anything. But if you want to support the show and help it grow, help keep me doing what I do, help expand it, you know, maybe even do more episodes, more streams, more bonus content, more YouTube exclusives, more gaming live streams like the one I did with Mike from the Humanist Report 2 weeks ago. Just more overall lovely content. You could support this show by going to patreon.com/MattBinder and subscribing. Now, the funny thing is, last week, I had mentioned how a bizarre thing happened where all of a sudden, you know, usually I get some patrons during the show and then maybe a couple throughout the week, but then I mentioned how all of a sudden on a random Monday I got like half a dozen patrons just joined the show, and I was astounded. I was like, where did they come from? Why on a Monday? I didn't put out anything this Monday. I was wondering where they came from, and I told all you listeners that, and I guess a bunch of people thought I was rolling in the patrons now, and we literally got a total of two patrons this past week, which is definitely a low in terms of recent months at least. So I understand if you can't, no problem. But if you can afford to do so and like what I do and want to see more of it and want it to grow, then consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/MattBinder. And to thank those patrons who joined the show, I'm going to give them a shout out right now, as I usually do. One second here. Let me pull up the list of patrons. Should have had this ready to go, but I didn't because I wasn't thinking. You can also support the show by subscribing at the YouTube channel, youtube.com/MattBinder. That's free. And, yeah. Let's see. Where is my... All right. Well, I forgot. I don't remember if I shouted these people out on the episode last week, so I want to make sure I get them in. So I'm going to shout out some people who joined during the show last week and between that show and this show. Lawrence T, thank you for becoming a patron. Counting Amberjacks, thank you for becoming a patron. And Abby, thank you so much, all of you, for becoming patrons. Really appreciate the support, and, you know, I'll thank you too on this show if you become a patron. You go to youtube.com/MattBinder, subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can doomthepod.com for the audio version of the show. Also links to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, you get the drill. Also, we're like 10 reviews away from 300 reviews on iTunes. So if you could do that, that would be great. That'd be fantastic. iTunes reviews really do help. They help me go up the rankings on iTunes. So when people are looking for podcasts, they discover this show. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Matt Binder. Search Matt Binder on all streaming platforms, social media platforms. You'll find me. What else? I think that's it. If there's someone you want to see on this show, let me know. If you want to see me on a show, let me know and let the show that you want me on know. You know. And otherwise, see you shortly in just a minute or two with David Bixenspan again as we talk more. And I got some videos to play for you guys. But if you're leaving us right now, until next time, see you all next time on Doomed.